Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, I can't believe I'm saying this, guys. We were kind of wrapping our brains at the start of this. We couldn't believe that we're talking about The Mandalorian. We've never covered The Mandalorian, the Star Wars Marvel cast. So basically, the podcast started about a month after season two ended, so we never had a chance to cover this. But yes, we are talking about The Mandalorian, and I am so excited to do it here with the great magistrate, Tommy. Tommy, how's it going?
I'm good. I just wanted to check. I can drink here in this school, right? This is a bar. Right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah,
I'm excited to cover this, Michael. We're here. We kind of covered it in the book of Star Wars. I think that might be what's throwing us off is we covered Mando. We just didn't cover The Mandalorian.
Exactly. And I'm welcoming back a guest here that I'm super excited to talk about. This is a two-time appearance for this man. They joined us on the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special for the holiday season. But guess what, baby? It's Mando season now. We're joined by actor and dad of the year from the Cast of Color podcast. It is John Carter. How's it going, John?
Oh, man. Thank you for having me. Michael, Tommy, the boys. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you again.
Yes, and you brought a friend with you here today, and somebody I'm very excited to welcome into the Stark Wars family. It is, I'm just going to say Jerry, I'm sorry, I'm working on it, okay? The next time, it'll be better. Welcome to Jerry. He's a guitarist, musical talent, and the co-host of the Cast of Color podcast. How's it going, man?
Hey, hello, hello. You guys are too kind. Thank you.
Yes. Guys, I'm thrilled to be talking about this. Like, typically I like to get everyone else's thoughts up front here, but I'm just gonna say it. Like, I am in love with this episode. And here's the thing, like, Bad Batch has been an absolute drag. You know, we have not had a lot of fun with it. And Andor was great, right? I loved my anti-fascist show, but at the end of the day, this is Star Wars to me, baby. I am loving every bit of it. And actually, since you're new here, I'm going to throw it over to Jerry. Jerry, what was your thoughts on this premiere?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's very, very Star Wars, just from everything we saw with, like, the little creatures looking all stop motion, the big monster at the beginning. It was really cool. I feel like this episode, to me, it looks like it's going to be the strongest season of Mando, just because... the first season, it was very Monster of the Week, which was cool. But, you know, I didn't have the serialization that I kind of wanted. And the second season had, like, a lot of really cool cameos, right? But then again, it was, like, it lost a little bit of the Star Wars, right? It did that thing where everybody knows each other, right? So this season looks, like, cool. It looks cool. It looks a little scaled back. It looks like an actual Mandalorian story. So yeah, as you could tell, I like Star Wars. So I'm glad to be on here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. John, I'm gonna throw it to you now. Premiere. Are you like busting through the roof like I am?
I don't know if I'm busting through the roof, but I did enjoy it very much. I mean, I enjoy Mandalorian every single season. It's something that I don't know, just show that for someone like me doesn't have the vast Star Wars lore knowledge, it's a show I still enjoy every single season. Every season premiere, I just really enjoy it. And yeah, this one didn't disappoint at all. You know, the little just different parts, I like little creatures, were, you know, the mechanics, you know, it felt straight out of, you know, the old school Star Wars, like we were kids. So yeah, I enjoy this premiere. I think it's shaping up to be a really yet another exciting season. These seasons are fucking dope. Mandalorian is just one of the better shows of Star Wars on Disney Plus. It's a go-to that I know it's going to be a quality show. So I fucked with this premiere.
Yeah, it feels like with every Disney Plus show, Tommy, that we're like flipping a coin. You know, it's like, what is it? What are we getting here? You know, is this going to be a Loki, or is this going to be a Falcon and the Winter Soldier? But I think Mandalorian's the one that you just can kind of count on. Tommy, what do you think?
Yeah, no, Mando's where it's at when it comes to the Star Wars world. And what's wild to me is, like, both in Marvel and Star Wars, like, they start out with these banger shows in, like, WandaVision and Mandalorian. It's like, how did you mess it up? You had some of the best shows in right at the beginning, and you went and did other stuff. But hey, yeah, I love this premiere. It definitely has like a style and a feel that like no other Mandalorian. The minute you watch it, you know you're watching the Mandalorian. And I felt that with this. I think at times not that it did anything wrong. I think I just have a higher standard for Mandalorian. And so it's like, I felt at times it expositioned where it could have done a cool show, stuff like that. But overall, I enjoyed the ride. I wanted to like watch it again and again. Like, it was a good time.
I think my big thing with this episode is that, you know, here's the thing. I remember, like, in the early days, like, season one, I'd always load up the I would wake up at, like, 4 a.m. to watch The Mandalorian. I'd load it up, and I'd see the runtime. And a lot of the times, I'm like, why isn't this an hour? You know, it's so sad. And this morning, or yesterday morning, I loaded up, and I'm like, 37 minutes? No, like, give me more. But guess what? They accomplished so much in such a small amount of time. And it didn't mess with the pacing at all for me. And that's something that, like, those three things, you know, short length, pacing, and accomplishing a lot. That's something you can almost never say about a show. So I thought it really did accomplish a lot here. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And they set up like small little things that are probably going to come up later, like the Pirate King. And we'll talk about all this other stuff. Like, it did all that in such a short amount of time of like getting us towards a direction. While also setting up these like side, you know, A, B, C's, Q's, and D's, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you guys are down, I will throw us into the episode here. And we have an interesting opening here. Honestly, like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, I didn't know if this was a flashback. Like, I feel like we missed a lot of stuff with the armor. Like, you know how, like, you know, Tommy, you were saying that in the Book of Boba Fett, we kind of miss a lot of the story of Mando in the middle there. I feel like the armor had their own story going on, because last time we saw the armor, it was just the armor and Paz. And now they have like a clan. They're recruiting another foundling and they're doing their little ceremony. I'm going to throw this out here, guys. And I don't know if it's a hot take. I hate the armor. I hate this character. This is a cult leader. They're not nice. They have weird rules. They're not even like anything remotely similar to the Mandalorians besides the gear. Like, Jerry, I'll throw it to you. Am I off base here? Are you a man?
No, I'm definitely not. Cause, I think lore wise, they're like supposed to be like an offshoot of, what is it called? Death Watch, right? From like Clone Wars, like, which were like some of like the main villains of like the whole like Mandalorian arc when Mandalore going down and everything. So any offshoot of that is going to be like pretty awful and kind of culty. But I think it opens up, you know, because we're going to have to see certain characters that we haven't seen yet, like what's her name from Rebels, Sabine. Yeah, Sabine, right? Because she's also related to the Death Watch people, you know, I think all the surviving Mandalorians are kind of related to that Death Watch connection. So I agree with you. Yeah, the armor is, I don't like her. They're weird, culty.
And the other thing is, Mando is a simp. I said it, okay? He loves the armor. He's doing everything he can to please her. He's like, okay, I will go bathe on this toxic planet. And listen, this is not good. I don't like this.
But Michael, she did save him. Like, I like that. Mando, like, you know, this is his parental figure in a sense. This is how I took it. But yeah, I mean, definitely like a cult. I'm not like trying to condone her cult behavior. I have a theory about this, Michael, about the armor and the whole cult. I'm going to break it wide open. You heard it here first. I think that the armor, the reason they don't want them to take off the mask, they're frauds. They're not even Mandalorians. They just took over the mantle, the armor, all this jazz. That's why they don't want to take off their masks. They're going to reveal they're like, it's going to be like a boss underneath. It's going to be like random bounty hunters.
Darth Maul.
Yeah, Darth Maul. Just bring them all out. Jar Jar. That's how we get Jar Jar back, Michael.
Oh, no. John, I gotta get your takes here on the armor. Is the armor a fraud? Let's start there.
Maybe. And you know, when I again, that one, I forget the name of the woman who has, you know, she doesn't have the Mandalorian helmet on, she has it off, and she tells Mando that he's part of a cult. I forget her name, but she kind of. Oh yeah, Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan just kind of puts things in perspective, and maybe the armor, just to Tommy's point, maybe the armor is a fraud, and it's just like the new leader of this type of cult. Because I'm just like, damn, Mando's going out of his way to atone for himself, to go bathe in these, you know, in these rivers and everything. I'm like, god damn, it must mean that much to him. And I love the determination, and I love how he's dead set on it. It's just, you know, he has these people around him who are like, bro, you can chill out, but the armorer, just whatever the armorer says, Mando really takes to heart, and that's kind of how he goes about his missions. I'm like, damn, the armorer must really be kind of like a parental figure, like Tommy said. So it's just, I don't know, I've never been crazy about the armor. I just thought there was a lot of history behind this character because how involved they are in this show. So I assume that they had a lot of lore in Star Wars, but they sure do give them a lot of attention in this show.
Yeah, I suspect we're going to find out a lot. I think there's more to it. I think Tommy has a point here. I don't know if it's Jar Jar, but I would. we get the scene here where they're kind of like baptizing this new Mandalorian here. They get them the helmet, and then they get attacked by this monster. I was like, did they not know the monster was there? I don't know. It seemed dangerous to be here.
Did you think this was Dinnager at first? I like thought this was like a flashback at first. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
Same. Yeah. I thought it was a flashback.
Yeah, very much set up like that, I think. And I was like, how old is the armor? You know,
it's
I was like literally wondering that right before the monster came out.
Yeah. No, I had the same thought again. Like, how did she get, like, there's like 40 people here, like, at this baptism. I'm like, where did the team come from? It is what it is. But yeah, any thoughts about, like, there was like a whole fight scene, like a whole monster movie right here, with this thing coming out, eating people, and then of course Mando saves the day. So I don't know if anyone had any individual thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a very specific shot I saw of when they sink the hooks into the skin, and like you could see that it's like actual, it's not CGI, you know, like they shoot it into something and it vibrates a certain way. I thought that was really cool. If the show goes out of its way, like in a good way, to like make everything feel like it's there, which is cool, I think. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I thought it was a good fight. I just thought the it kind of made the cult look kind of weak. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. Like, I guess I've never fought a giant crocodile monster thing, but I felt like they took them all. I don't think they would have took it down.
Makes, it makes Pedro Pascal look cooler.
Yeah, exactly. definitely makes me. Well, that's the thing. I always thought that was going to be his way back in. Like, he's going to be like, I just saved your life. So I still have to go bathe in this random pool underneath the planet.
Yeah, I was questioning some of the techniques of some of them against that big ass alligator. I was like, I've seen Mando take down just what seems like entire platoons of people, and this big ass alligator is about to just KO everyone.
I think everyone in Star Wars is just like really incompetent though, you know? Like, it's just like everyone's kind of sucks at doing stuff.
Like, yeah, because people are like, oh, the stormtroopers can't aim, but then look at the battle droids, and then yeah, now like just everybody. There's like four people that are strong in Star Wars. So okay, here. So let's go to, you know, I meant to freaking Google this and I feel bad. Maybe Jerry can clear me up because I'm super confused about what happens next here. Okay, well, first we talk to the armor, we talk about the living waters, he's gonna bathe himself. But they go into the ship and they're going through hyperspace, and Grogu is looking at something in space here. Does anybody know what this is? I think it's something. I just, I don't know.
Yeah, these are the things from Rebels. The Purrgils. They're foreshadowing, I think, a little bit. Because, like, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much. But big things in Rebels with these things.
Well, you can spoil Rebels.
Like, I can spoil. They're the whole, like, end game. They're like the whales that take the people away.
I've watched Rebels like twice. I don't know.
There's big hyper. So basically, there's big hyperspace whales, and they come in and help them get through hyperspace when their ship ship is broken, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so they help, and then they use, the main guy is like uses them. It's a whole thing.
Yeah,
Rebels is incredible. Go watch it, please.
Yeah, Rebels is pretty good. It's good. It's like a good Clone Wars like sequel, and then the Bad Batch is filling everything in, which I think is pretty cool. You know, but
hating on Bad Batch, and you're like,
I mean, I'm not caught up on the new season. I don't know if it's good or not. But
it's hit or miss. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because the first season was pretty good. And then this season is, I don't know, I haven't seen it. But
let's just say we're choosing to watch a show about zombies that has nothing to do about Star Wars and Marvel over Bad
Batch. That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, I'm so glad you guys explained that, because I remember that scene so vividly, and I was like, what the hell are those creatures? That's so scary. Like, I was like, those are hyperspace creatures. Those are creatures traveling at hyperspeed. That's fucking nuts. So I thought it was pretty scary.
Yeah, I think they're trying to create like one really connected universe now, which is cool. Like, I think Star Wars is like the first thing to like successfully, I think, have something that's animated and have it in live action and have it be like the same thing, like canon wise, which I think is like really, really cool. Like Rosario Dawson, like Ahsoka is the same Ahsoka as the Clone Wars, you know? So I think that's pretty cool. Like, and it's just little details like that that fill it out, you know? That way when you watch Rebels, you're like, oh, those are the whale things I saw in The Mandalorian, you know?
Yeah. It's also making the world feel full. Like, I think this is the move. Instead of getting all these cameos of people, just have these species and different, like, you know, species that we know from all these different properties. That makes it feel rich and full without it feeling like everybody knows each other.
Yeah, and I think a good one is, like, We did talk about a little bit in Bad Batch, but like, you know, things like the relationship between Trandoshans and Wookiees, right? Like, that's the kind of thing that's like a world altering conflict going on. And when you see a Trandoshan or you see a Wookiee, you kind of get like the history and why they're doing the things they do. So, you know, yeah, I love that type of world building in Star Wars. I want to talk about here, because we are going back. Yes, Tommy.
I was going to go back and real quick, the conversation with Armor and okay. Mando. I wanted to talk about the Mandalorian shard.
I didn't have a lot to say, but.
Well, just like it can lie. It like legitimizes the glassing, which is like the idea that they like glassed these surfaces and areas on Mandalor. And all that stuff, but also the inscription, I guess, is straight out of the Bible. Like, if people have, you know, people are crazy out there, and so they've basically decoded it. The inscription is straight out of the Bible, and it's a passage about the Jewish enslavement by the Egyptians. That's a lot to do with, like, a lot of, if you don't know, like, Mandalorian lore is connected to that. A lot of it was based on that kind of those passages from the Bible. So I just thought it was an interesting thing that they put in there.
Nice. Good pull. Yeah, I didn't clearly I didn't look it up. So
I'm hey, Twitter's a wonder. I won't say I got this on my own.
We love Twitter. Okay, so now we're gonna go see our good buddy Greef Karga, high magistrate here. They go to Navarro. Navarro is so fun. I love this location. I love this town. All the characters, the background people, it's so built out. You get like the little Salacious Crumb people. You get like, you know, there's a droid who's like a chef and he's like chopping everything up with his multiple. I loved all of the scene. I love the world they're building out here. What'd you guys think about seeing Greef and Navarro in general?
I thought it was dope, you know, the boy Apollo Creed. I enjoyed the entire scene, and I don't know, I loved the costumes, and I loved the world that it felt like, and it was, like you said, it was very built up, and he kept acknowledging that he, you know, he was the high magistrate now, you know, he got a little promotion and everything, so it was cool, it was an enjoyable scene, and I just... It was very fun. So,
yeah, it looked a lot more well put together compared to like that first season of The Mandalorian, which is a really, really cool difference where it looked all, you know, dystopian, fascist, and then it switches to this. It looks cool. It looks like a normal Star Wars town now, and they want to be free from the new Empire or whatever, you know, whatever happens in Force Awakens. So, like, And we got Carl Weathers, you know, to come back, do a little bit of Carl Weathers stuff. So that's always fun. He looks like he's up to something, though, maybe. I don't know, right? Was Carl Weathers a little sketchy?
Are you sus on Carl Weathers?
What do you think? What do you guys think?
I think he's got a heart of gold. Tommy,
I don't know. He was really pushing, like, you know, we're going to be independent. It's going to be, you know.
Yeah, the boy is antsy. The boy is antsy.
See, what's weird, though, is, like, if this was, like, the original trilogy era, right, when somebody says, I want to be independent from the Empire, you're like, hell yeah, man. But now we're under the New Republic, which are the good guys, and he's like, I want to be independent. So what does that mean? You know, and I get his point. Like, I don't want to go, like, this could become the new Empire, and I want to be independent from that. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was less sussed out on that, more sussed out on when just little things, like when the guy called him magistrate, he's like, hi, magistrate. And it's like, ooh, like maybe he's going to get a little, you know, power hungry or whatever. Because he looks like he knows he's in charge of stuff. Like, I don't know. You know, in Star Wars, anyone could turn evil, like, at any point. So,
you know. Well, especially if this is all in jeopardy. I could definitely see a situation where he, like, turns in Mando or something, you know, classic Lando move of, you know, turning people for to keep your cushy lifestyle. I could definitely see that happening in some way.
You know what? Seeing Carl Weathers was cool and all, but what about those droids that was, like, carrying his cloak? Did you guys catch up on that? He had, like, two little droids.
Yeah, when I noticed that, it was very funny. It's like three, I think. The things were, like, in the middle. There's, like, two on each end.
I will say with Navarro, this is one of my issues. It is so hard to know how much time passes in this stuff. I know John Favreau has come out and said, like, Grogu was with Luke for 2 years. And like, time has definitely been moving because we can clearly see it here. I don't know. Is that just me? Is it hard for anyone else to track? I'm like, oh, man, we've really been moving through time.
I go by, when it comes to Mandalorian, I go by, like, video game logic, because it very much feels like a video game. And I've always felt that, like, there's always, like, a main objective and, like, little side quests that he has to do. And it's literally like a video game at some points where it's, like, actual fetch quests, you know?
For real.
Like, I think, like, this is not what this episode is, right? It was like a fetch quest, this upcoming episode, so he can go back and then he can go to the planet. And so by video game logic, you know, anything that's like gameplay is probably like real time. It feels like a day. And then anything that we don't see, it could usually sometimes be years, you know. But yeah.
I mean, hell, it's been 2.5 years since we saw Mandalorian last, if you're not counting Book of Boba Fett. So I think it's real time at this point, baby. Let's go.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a good point.
Okay, so a couple other things happen here. You know, they go up to his room, and he wants them to, like, come stay there. Mando's like, I still have a mission to accomplish. But I think the next big plot point here is the pirates. We get, I think his name is Vane, and he's there at the school, which used to be a bar, and he's like, we want a drink at the school. And they're not having it. So I just want to say, you know, I think very clearly it's kind of set up to maybe be like a mini arc of this season with these pirates. Like, I can't imagine this is the last we see of them. But I love these guys. And this is what I love about Star Wars. It's just like, you know, these like seedy individuals that are just grimy. And I just thought it was so fun. It's a very simple good versus evil, as always in Star Wars, but really well built out. I loved it.
Do you guys know about Holdo?
Yes.
Yeah, do you think we're going to see him? It looks like they're building up to, we're seeing a lot. You know, they've been building up to it for years, I think. We see a little bit more of his race here and there. So if John,
I thought we were going to get Hondo. Yeah, I thought for sure when they were Hondo. For sure we were going to get this. Because Disney loves this guy. They literally built a freaking ride just to showcase him more. Like,
yeah, so John, if you don't know John, Hondo is like the main like pirate guy from Clone Wars. He's like the pirate homie. So
got you. Is he of that alien race that was trying to drink at the school? They were hilarious.
One of them was the same race as him. Yeah, like all scaly in the face.
Yeah, he was like, "This is a school." He's like, "Well, we're gonna drink here, asshole."
Exactly. Yeah, this is fun show. But yeah, he's you know, they've been building him up for years. So he might be in it, John. So now you know, you're in the know.
Yeah, would love to see Hondo. Yeah.
I will say, though, I love this Pirate King. I love this. Like, we'll get to him later, but man, I kind of like this Pirate King better than Hondo. Like, this guy looks sick.
Dude, he's a cross between Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean and, like, Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
So green. It was just awesome. It was very mossy.
Yeah. Definitely need more of him. But yeah, so yeah, they're here, they're trying to drink at the school, they're acting like me in high school. But they end up firing at the pirates, they kill off, and Vane runs off. And we get a lot of dialogue up next here, a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of tidbits. We find out the fates of Moff Gideon and Cara Dune. I think my brother and I talked about Cara Dune a lot, how they're going to explain this. I was like, my theory was they were just never going to mention it again, but they did bring out Cara Dune. Cara Dune was recruited to the Special Forces, and Moff Gideon is at a war tribunal. So there you go. That's the fates of the two characters. Are we going to see Moff Gideon again? Does anyone have an opinion on that?
He'll probably be in the Ahsoka show.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Yeah, I could see him cross show. I think that's
because he'll probably be what's his blue guy.
Thrawn.
He'll probably be Thrawn's friend. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening. Thrawn and Moff getting together.
Gosh, even mentioning Thrawn, I'm just. That's gonna be my juice.
Did you get goosebumps too?
I think he's supposed to be the main villain of the Ahsoka show. I think, right?
Yeah, I've heard rumors.
Ezra casted. They casted everyone. Like, I think, yeah, Sabine, Ezra, the whole Rebels cast. It's like a live action Rebels sequel series. It's awesome.
I gotta watch Rebels.
You gotta watch Rebels.
The boy Hidardo's been telling me, he's like, it's dope, because I love 1 through 3. I mean, episode 1 is what got me into Star Wars. I was a kid, so that's what got me into Star Wars. So it's dope that, you know, it's kind of canon with everything else. So I gotta watch it.
Got to. All right, guys, y'all ready for my first complaint of the episode? The next plot point here is Mando's like, we need him. IG-11, the statue in the town. This is by far the most ridiculous thing they've ever done in Mandalorian. Mando's like, can we just like bring him back to life? Greef's like, no, of course not. But then as they bring him down and they're kind of walking him through everything, he's like, well, we have like these really good droid technicians. And it's like, you're telling me nobody tried? Like, there was a way to bring him back. And even Mando, like when he first gets him, he's like, let me just plug him in. And he like came to life. And I'm like, you could have done more for IG-11. He's just been standing in the town square this entire time. Are you kidding me? Oh, boy. It was so dumb that I actually enjoyed it. So I don't know if anyone has any thoughts about IG-11, I guess, is coming back.
No, I had to rewind that scene. I was like, why the fuck does he... Well, I was like, hold on. Like, what's the purpose? He needs IG-11 to go do something. So, I mean, apparently to guide him on Mandalore. I was like, damn, is that important? You got to dig up his fucking remains.
That's Taika Waititi, right?
It is.
Oh yeah, the boy.
Yeah,
I literally think they just wanted to, like, I think sometimes they just are like, we want these things to happen, how do we get that thing? And I think they just wanted to introduce, bring in Babu Freak's species into this, and they were like, all right, well, they're like kind of tinkerers. Okay, there is a droid in the first season, let's bring, everybody loves IG, why not, let's do it, bring him back. I didn't need this. This is where I'm like, I feel like we're just wasting. We only have 37 minutes, and I feel like we're wasting time a little.
Tommy, see, I hear what you're saying, but like, I did love IG-11. You know, they kind of, I forget the guy's name. He kind of rebuilt him, and like, IG-11 was like good. He was like a maid almost. Like, I kind of liked that character, and we didn't get a whole lot of him. But like, we also get this really cool scene here where like it turns into like a horror movie monster when he comes to life, right? Like, it's almost like Frankenstein, and like I don't know. I thought it was I really, as dumb as it is, like truly, truly dumb, and a lot of things in Star Wars are dumb, I actually really enjoyed it.
That's what Star Wars is, you know?
If
you enjoy it, it's good, you know?
And truly, honestly, Grogu probably needs a babysitter because, like, Grogu's up to some shenanigans. He was still in M&M's or whatever those little pomegranate seeds or whatever those things were. Like, Grogu's out, and then later he's a monster and just taking, we'll talk about it, but, like, Grogu needs some lessons is all I'm trying to say.
He's about to eat one of those little tinkerer guys. That was one of my highlights.
I believe they're called the Enzelans, and we could talk about the Enzelans now. Here's another thing I was unsure of. I maybe should have fact-checked. Are one of these guys Babu Frick? The main guy looked like Babu Frick.
Is that that's the guy from...
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker, yeah. Right? Because it just looked straight out of that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's him.
It's not confirmed, but yeah, it definitely looked like...
Because you know, because everyone has to know each other in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's only one. We need Babu Freak. Bring him back, you cowards.
Exactly. He's a fan favorite.
Not the next investigative podcast, Tommy.
Hey!
Here, this is my favorite quote from him in this episode. He said a lot of funny things. It broke, you know, stuff like that. But this is, he says. Did you hear it? Oh no, my sound clips aren't working. He says, bad baby, when Grogu tries to get hold on to him.
Hilarious. That was this is hilarious. So disappointing. That was one of the funniest parts of the episode.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this point, Grogu's the villain of this. There's going to be there's a support group for people that Grogu has like harmed. The fish people with their baby eggs, they're going to be part of it. These guys, like, Grogu is out there just. Does not care who he hurts in his curiosity escapades. Yeah,
it's just a baby, you know.
Bad baby. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think, I maybe I'm too hard on Grogu, Michael. Maybe I'm too hard.
I mean, he's a little shit, but he's our little shit.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. So, yeah, we talked about all of them. We will go on to Mando's leaving the planet now, and we get another interaction with the pirates. Really cool, like, dogfight scene here, starfighter scene. Really good music in the scene as well. There's, like, an iteration of the Mandalorian theme. Yeah, I didn't know if you guys had any thoughts on the starfighter scene.
Yeah, that scene was dope. I mean, the boy was just flying off of, like, asteroids, picking them off. It was dope, you know, just a vengeful pirate. It was like, you killed four of my boys?
Is this the first time we've seen his new ship, like, in action, like this, right? Definitely, yeah.
I mean, in this capacity, for sure.
Yeah, because Bobo said it was more like, though.
Yeah.
He didn't do as much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the beginning of the episode, he shoots the guy with the lizard thing with the ship.
I think we're going to get a lot of the ship, which is cool. Yeah. You know, it's like one of those retro, it's like episode one type ships, you know?
I got to bring this up because a good friend of the podcast, Greg Dunlap, had messaged me and asked about this. He wants to know about, like, the bathroom situation in the Starfighter. How do they go? And, like, he had, like, a freighter before, and, like, it had a bathroom, it had, like, sleeping quarters. Like, this doesn't feel as functional as what he had before. So, how does he use the restroom, guys?
Simple.
I think it's just faster.
Yeah, it's just faster, so he doesn't have, he can stop. He can go at the next pit stop, huh?
Yeah, you never need to go. It's just too quick.
The other one is simple.
The pod opens up, Grogu hangs on, and, like, just goes as they continue going down. They space and pee.
Do Yodas pee, though?
I guess that's a bigger question.
I was going to say that would make no sense for so many reasons that if he did that, but guess what? Nothing in space in Star Wars makes sense ever. Yeah. So,
I will say with this Pirate King scene, I did have one gripe. Mando, why are you leaving these pirates to now attack this city that is prosperous? You're leaving, you didn't even warn the high magistrate that, like, this is happening, and now these pirates are mad and you just left. You just peaced. That's got to come up, right? Like, he's going to take over the town.
Because the big set piece of the next episode is going to be the robot coming back and killing all the pirates.
Oh, Let's go. That would be dope.
Mando comes back and there's a murder robot on the loose.
Yeah, I could see that happen. He comes back and it's taken over. Probably episode 3, we're going to get Taika Waititi just killing a bunch of pirates.
That would be fun.
I can see that. I can see that.
He's like wearing Grief's coat and with the droids carrying it. And like he's like the high magistrate now. Like the place is burning.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Carl Weathers is going to die?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Right? But he still has the objective to like take care of Grogu. So he's now a murder robot. It's like, leave my baby alone. Stab.
Oh, my God. I think we probably just wrote a better story than whatever they're going to come up with.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so the final scene here we get is Mando is going to Calamara. They're going to this Mandalorian castle, and Bo-Katan's posted up in her throne, and he's basically like wanting help here. And Bo-Katan's like, "Nah, we're not doing that. You took my Darksaber. Nobody likes me. You're in a cult. Like, I'm Team Bo-Katan all the way. Like, she is so right. I'm on like every level here."
Yeah, I agree. She listed it like that too. Just, you're in a cult. You took my sword. Just go find the people if you want. They're all mercenaries. It's crazy. It's like all the work from the past few seasons, you know, that she's been doing, just gone. It's all Mando's fault because he's in a cult, you know? So that's what happens.
Yep. So, I think the
indoctrination thing is going to be like the biggest thing this season, you know?
I was gonna ask that. Yeah, like what's the goal? Like, is his trip to Mandalore, is that like the season finale, right? Like, we're all gonna be building up to that the entire time?
I think it's gonna be like a mid-season thing, and then something's gonna happen with the cult where they're gonna do something that he doesn't like. Maybe they're not gonna let Grogu in or something. And he's just gonna renounce them, and then we get Pedro Pascal's face next season, you know. I think that's the end goal.
Grogu's more of a Mandalorian than any of those people. I don't care what anyone says.
Right. He walks the walk, you know?
Yeah.
I do think we spent a good amount of time on Mandalore this season. I think this is the focus. I think we're going to get tons of lore, tons of trying to potentially like bring it back to a degree. I think this is our focus of the season. I think it's that plus him hopefully leaving the cult and like joining up with Bo and like going to actually make Mandalore a good place and not do cult stuff. Let's get out of the cult. Unless we want like a friend. Could we have a good cult? Could this show prove that being a cult?
Well, I could see Mandalore coming back, and then you know, Ahsoka was a really big part of the Mandalore arc too. So by the time the Ahsoka series, does that come out this year?
I think everything's up in the air with Disney Plus right now.
But the Ahsoka series, I think that's gonna tie in a lot with whatever happens with Mandalore, because it's always a big deal. We're gonna have Sabine. We're gonna have a lot of people that are tied to all that history of Mandalore in that show. So I think you're definitely right. And by the end of it, they're gonna try to start rebuilding Mandalore. We might see the results of that in Ahsoka. That'd be cool.
Well, all right, guys, that is the that brings us to the end of the episode. Are there any other final thoughts on the Mandalorian here?
Oh, damn. I thought it was a hell of a premiere. I thought it was very enjoyable. When I saw that it was 37 minutes, I was like, damn, that's not very long. But when you watch it, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's 30. It feels like a lot of shit happens within that time.
It was really enjoyable. I like the shorter shows. You can squeeze them in. It's a little easier. You can
run through them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little easier. You don't have to put so much time aside compared, you know, you could squeeze a couple of these in if you miss one instead of like spending 3 hours if you miss two episodes or something, you know.
My only comment is, now that I've seen Pedro without a mask, all I want is Pedro without a mask. I don't know, it's now that I'm watching Last of Us, I want free Pedro, free the Mando, let him wear no mask.
I mean, I want Pedro, but also just like this weird like ritual of wearing the freaking mask. Who cares?
Because they're all like alien. I don't know. There's something going on, Michael. There's a reason they're not taking this mask off. You wait and see.
It's so funny. I was watching it with my wife, and she was like, "I was like, they can never take their mask off. You know, it's against their code." And she was like, "Well, how do they drink water and eat?" I was like, "Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure they can't do it. They have to do it in privacy. You know, no one can see them. She was like, okay, I don't like it already.
That's the Mandalorian's weakness. You just got to get them very thirsty, and then they got to take their mask. That's how you get them. They'll be weak in battle.
Yep. So, all right. Hey, so I want to do this real quickly here. We typically do recommendations. I didn't warn you guys at all, so maybe you can think about something. We typically do recommendations at the end of the episode, whether it's a movie, TV show, book, comic, app, activity, whatever you want to leave people with in the audience, because I have something that I want to talk about. And I went to go see Cocaine Bear. And that shit goes so hard. Go see that movie right now. It's so fun. And don't take it seriously. Like, if you go in there and just, like, want to have a good time, you're going to be like, wow, this is like a 9 out of 10 movie. If you go in there looking for, like, the next best picture, like, go home.
It's not winning an Oscar.
Unfortunately not. I would win my Oscar. Like, it's just fun. It's a fun freaking movie.
But imagine that Oscar speech, Michael. The bear goes up there with a little bow tie on. And then
I can't do this, Tommy.
And then he's up there, and he just starts snorting cocaine right up on the award stage.
I gotta watch it. I love that R-rated movies are bringing people to the theater. We need more R-rated comedies to bring people to the movie theater besides comic book spectacles. I love when R-rated comedies are bringing people to the theater. I don't know. A lot of people wouldn't watch this, so I gotta go watch Cocaine Bear.
You gotta watch it. It's good. I think it's more cool than it is funny. I'll put it that way. It's like, it is technically a comedy. I didn't laugh as much, but I was more like, you know, so like when I'm watching like a Star Wars movie, right? I've been waiting for years. I finally get in the theater on opening night and I'm sitting there and, you know, I watch Snoke get cut in half or something. I like stand up with my hands. Like, you know, it's like, oh my God, this movie had moments like that. And it's like not even Star Wars. So I'm just putting it out there. Okay, who wants to go next? Does anyone have a recommendation?
I do. I have a recommendation. I have a recommendation, and can I also endorse something? I was on a podcast that you listened to, Michael.
Yes, sir. It was a good podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate you at least listening to the podcast of the said show. So first recommendation. Hey, I'm a big animated guy. I love my animated shows. I've been going back in time, watching shows I wish I did watch it when they were on, but I didn't. And I have now stumbled upon Steven Universe. What a great show. I'm loving my journey so far. I just finished season one. If you haven't checked it out, very much of that, of most of the shows I recommend, Over the Garden Wall themes, Infinity Train themes, a lot of adult themes, a lot of like dealing with queerness, dealing with, there's so many underlayered themes in this show, and I'm really enjoying the journey. And I was on a podcast, not this podcast, but like I went and traveled over to the Two Dudes Watch Cartoons podcast. And Michael, I have the record over there for I beat the last record holder, who was me, and I have now been on 5 times on that podcast, and we covered the Legends of Vox Machina. People have heard me talk at length of this. They had their season 2, and we talked about it. I thought it was a pretty good podcast, so if you have time and/ want to hear more of me ramble, go check out their podcast and that pod.
And it was a good podcast. I don't watch the show, but I still listen to the podcast. Tommy, I do have a question after listening to that podcast, and I hope if you hold out on me right now, we might have to get a divorce. Can you move your head a little bit to like the left? Yeah, I see it there. What's with the John Stamos picture, man?
This has been here since literally we've started this podcast. And you have just noticed that I have a John Stamos picture behind me?
Well, I'm here for such a historic moment.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of sitting in front of it, at least now. Yeah. I think usually you are. Well, can you at least give us a hint? I know it was like a big secret on that podcast. You wouldn't tell them what it was, why you had it.
Well, you know, if you sign up for the $15 patron, you can find out why I have. No, it's a long story. It's not as cool as like the mystery of it. Basically, it was a long bit where I told a music teacher. I was in musicals back when I was in high school. I made a long story about how I am such a method actor that I would sit in its room in the dark, drinking lemon zinger tea and staring at a picture of John Stamos to contemplate what it really means to be an actor. And so as a graduation gift, my said teacher gave me this picture of John Stamos, and I've had it ever since, and he is my inspiration. Just whenever I'm down, I just look at good old John over there, and also this John, and just be like, man, this is where I am in life.
That was a trip, Tommy. Thank you for, I know you didn't want to share it, but thank you for doing that.
Yeah, if people thought I would, like, this is new, weird Tommy, I was this weird in high school.
Yeah, no, this is Tom. This is just Tommy, guys. Either you guys have a recommendation you want to leave people with.
The Last of Us is pretty good. Anybody hasn't seen that, go watch that. If you don't have time to play the game, it's a little more time efficient, I guess. Because the game will take you, what, like 12 hours, 15 hours? Yeah. You know, the show, a few hours, you're just watching it. So it's a pretty, pretty good show. I've been rewatching Dragon Ball Z. That's fun. That's a good show. It's just a bunch of guys screaming, getting stronger. It's a great, great time. What about you, John?
Oh man, you know, I'm venturing into a different realm here, gentlemen. I'm moving into reality TV.
Let's go! We love reality TV.
Oh, good, good. Gerardo's already heard, you know, we've been friends for years. So a few years back, casting director reached out to me. Like Tommy, I'm also an actor. And they were trying to get me on Survivor, the reality show Survivor. So my wife and I have been, that was in 2017. Since then, I'm on my second kid. Got married, you know, so things have changed. But now we're binging it so much, and we're so just entranced by Survivor. And we really believe I can go on and do well. So I'm auditioning for season 46, which is going to open up in fall. Season 46, I'm going to audition for Survivor. I recommend it. It's on Paramount Plus. It's one of the most enjoyable reality TV shows I've ever watched. And I've told Gerardo many times, so he's pumped. He's excited for the boy. But yeah, I recommend Survivor. It's one of my favorite reality shows. And I'm going to audition for season 46. So
let's go, John.
John, apparently we've never talked about this. Tommy and I, this is kind of indirectly, this is Survivor might be the reason Tommy and I know each other. Oh. We're both massive Survivor fans. I've applied a time or two. I was going to share. I have a hidden immunity idol. We're massive. Idol. And Tommy has memorabilia, I think, too.
I have my Survivor finale Ghost Island bracelet that we wore.
What the hell? This Survivor is no accident. I just stumbled on actual super. I love it. Oh, my God. Yeah. The new season just came out this week. So that's the newest episode. It's really good. This is season 44 is out. I can't audition for season 45 because I have a kid who's going to be here tomorrow. Season 46, I'm going to audition for in the fall. So, that's my recommendation. I can't believe you guys. Oh, my gosh. That's so dope. You guys are fans. That's so dope. I love
John, if I see you on the island, my man, you know, we're good.
I got you.
And if I'm there too, John, you know who we're getting first.
Yeah, Tommy.
Oh, I can't even point to you.
All right, guys. This is so much fun. I appreciate you guys so much for coming on here. It's always a pleasure, John, to have you, and Jerry to meet you as well. I want to give you guys the chance to tell people where they can find your podcast and everything else you got going on online.
Oh, yeah. I'll let the boy Gerardo. But yes, thank you guys for having me again. I can't wait till next time. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So you guys can find us on Apple Podcasts. You guys can find us on Spotify at Cast of Color. We'd like to talk about all things film, TV, and entertainment there with the focus on diversity. Diversity in the movie industry, TV industry, you know, the whole deal. And it's a lot of fun over there. We review any movie coming out. You know, we're going to have an Ant-Man episode dropping here soon. Yeah. We'd love to have you guys on sometime. Everyone can follow us again on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, at Cast of Color, and listen to us on Spotify or Apple Music. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks. I love what you guys are doing over there, so keep up the good work. Tommy, anything else? Any other tidbits before we close out?
Uh, you know, if you're...
I love when I throw this question at you and you have no idea.
Well, listen. I guess the only other thing we covered Last of Us. If you haven't listened to that pod, me and we covered that, right? We did the episodes. It was great.
And we'll be back next week, right?
Yeah, make sure to brush your teeth every day. What other things can we tell people?
We're buying time. Touch
grass sometimes. I don't know.
All right, guys. I will close this out here. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week with Mando stuff and every other week for The Last of Us. And I think we're putting a pause on talking about The Bad Batch. We'll get back to it. We'll cover the season as a whole, I think.
That prediction of yours, Michael, is it looking too great about?
Tommy, let's not talk about that, okay? Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Star Wars Pod. We also have some merch in the show notes if you want to check that out. Also, ask us for our Discord link because we got a little Discord community going on. We'd love to have you guys. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And this is the way.
Bye.
I see where the musical theater comes in.